This is Twit.
So let's talk about Qualcomm. The gift that just keeps on giving. The last time we talked, Apple had to stop selling its iPhone 7 and 8 in Germany. Well, a German court has now thrown out Qualcomm's patent case against Apple. Just earlier today, this is a big reversal for Qualcomm, the regional court in the city of Mannheim. That's the big town where they make steamrollers, right? Dismissed the Qualcomm suit as groundless.
Dad. Mom, let's make those jokes again.
saying the patent in question was not violated by the installation of its chips in Apple's smartphones. Apple said, "We're happy with the decision." Qualcomm, well, you know, Qualcomm's not happy. Apple has a history of infringing our patents. While we disagree,
the conflation between licensing and chipsets within Qualcomm is kind of
weird.
Well,
and I didn't know this, but I learned this here, but Qualcomm refused to sell Apple its chips for the latest generations of phones. I thought Apple was trying to get over, you know, move to Intel to get out of this, but in fact it was they wanted to buy the Qualcomm chips and they couldn't.
Well, that's part of the problem here. It's sort of like with the old Intel lawsuits or the old Microsoft laws where in order to have one you have to have the other, and then they will penalize you if you don't go all in with them. And that's all of the information that's coming out. And I think that's why so many independent jurisdictions are also going after Qualcomm, never mind the Apple lawsuit, like Federal Trade Commission and other commissions in other countries, is because they were doing that sort of they were doing the things you do when you abuse a position, like bundling. And like they could choose not to be part of standards. They could say, we're doing our own proprietary thing. We think it's amazing. If you want to use it, we'll make sure that it works where it works. But they're like, no, we want everybody to use it. But now we want to charge you exorbitantly for it. And especially in the EU and maybe in the US now, I don't think that's going to be tenable.
It's hard. I've been trying to understand everything about this lawsuit, and this result of, like, this used to be a little bit browner here in my sideburns, and that's this little patch of gray, and I really don't know how I feel about it. The Qualcomm, for their part, they make a pretty good argument, at least for the FTC case, which is saying, so what have we done to abuse consumers? Phones have never been cheaper. The consumers are not paying a price for whatever you think is going on. There is an alternative to Qualcomm. We are, and as a counter to the, so I'm wondering how, at least in the United States, the FTC action is going to play out, because there are great cases to be made on both sides of Qualcomm simply trying to make money off of something that they've been doing extremely well in navigating a business also extremely well, versus the other stuff that they've been doing, which is, like, it doesn't seem as though they're doing the right thing by double dipping, as Renee says. So I'm almost at the state where I'm just gonna wait to see who's still alive in two years.
That's what makes it so interesting, is that, like, absolutely, like, Qualcomm is, you get every dollar you can, but there is a point where your short-term gain comes at the expense of your long-term viability. Yeah. And again, I use the Microsoft example, where they rode Windows so hard that it caused them to ignore other potentials that could have, you know, like, lots of stuff I wanted to see on the market. And Qualcomm, first, they have that licensing, that patent arm, which is so important to them, but that comes a little bit at the expense of their chipset business. And they want people to pay based on the price of the device, because they believe their component is so important that it's worth more than just the component itself. But you can't scale that. Like, if suddenly the phones are cameras now, people buy phones because of the cameras. We make the sensor. We deserve part of the entire phone price. Oh, but, you know, the chipset, you know, we're making these we're fabbing these processors for you. People buy because of the chipset. So now we want a part of the, there's only so many parts of that phone that you can divvy up. And I think Qualcomm would have an amazingly robust business and would have an amazing growth curve if they're like, okay, you pay us for the chip and license these products, and, you know, everyone shakes hands and goes home afterward.
It's, you know, yeah, it's hard to say. You could also to play, and I'm explicitly playing devil's advocate here, as opposed to asserting a point of view that I hold dear to myself. There is, you could make a devil's advocate could make a comparison to Apple's defense of their iPhone business, that yes, they have so many other businesses, but really, if the iPhone were to go away magically tomorrow, they would be screwed with a double K in the word screwed. Nonetheless, Qualcomm is in a lot of other businesses. They make CPUs, they make Wi-Fi chips, make Bluetooth chips, mobile processors, game processors, but the lion's share of their money comes from cellular modems because, again, this is what they built their business around. It's hard. I don't understand the business enough to have a really good opinion on who's absolutely right and who's absolutely wrong here. I hope it doesn't come to a point where users' experience will suffer, because the thing is, we really like Qualcomm chips in our modems. They really work extremely well, especially if you travel, especially if you're in parts of the world where there aren't really, really great unified cellular networks, and you have to keep buying coverage as you go. So again,
It just feels like the one company you don't want to encourage to make their own chips is Apple, just given their history of making their own chips.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's something you don't want to do. And you know, to Andy's point, you know, who's expressly right and who's expressly wrong? I think in situations like this, there isn't one company that's completely right and one that's completely wrong. But you know, I know that Rene said jokingly and not jokingly, you don't want to encourage Apple to start making its own chips.
Good news. We've created a whole new network that's so better than any standard we could have possibly.
No, but I mean, to make it personal.
Have done that and have lost.
So to make it personal for a minute, I had to pay the Qualcomm tax on my iPhone, even though there hasn't been CDMA anywhere in Canada for I think a decade now, just because they demand that regardless of where you are. And I could have paid, I don't know, $20-$30 conceivably less for my phone, because I would have just had a regular GSM modem. Like, you know, like a small country off on the top of your hat.
According to Jeff Williams, it's $7.50 per phone. That's a lot.
I think some of the companies that are suing, organizations that are suing Qualcomm have said it's as high as 20, but that's another area that I can't really find out where the actual number is.
The chips and the license, I think you have to add them both together to get the...
Yeah. So you have to buy the
Qualcomm
chips.
Dollars. Yeah. And the license that goes with them, because you don't get the license with the chips, as far as I remember. It would be nice if the license came with the chips.
And you're saying that in order to make an iPhone, even if you don't need the CDMA architecture, you need to license that.
Well, because Qualcomm, they were doing these world phones for a while that you could use on Verizon Plus all the way around the world. And because Qualcomm modems are so good, people want them. But there, Qualcomm won't make one that doesn't include CDMA, because that's their bread and butter. I mean, it's licensing all the way down.
Qualcomm does have 5G patents as well.
Yeah. Rinse and repeat, Leo.
So they're not, you know, it's not just the outdated stuff.
They have LTE patents. They have 5G patents.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other aspect that confuses me is that in some regions they are regions they're required to cover a minimum number of bands that might include CDMA but might not, and they might have, and Qualcomm's position might be that we really don't want to create a whole other chipset just to take care of this one part of the world in which CDMA doesn't exist and we don't have to pay for it. We feel as though the amount of sales we're going to lose by charging extra for a license people are a manufacturer is going to lose is less than the amount of money we'd have to spend to have a new fab or to have an alternative flavor of this chip. So again, I have to get very zen and say I do not even know what I do not know.
I'm just so happy that AT&T's 5G is not affected by Qualcomm 5G.
Because it's not 5G.
that sticker works. That's just, you just put a neon on it. Sticker off, you put it
Did
on
Did you see
the
T-Mobile response where T-Mobile said BRB and they put a post-it note with 9G on top of it?
This is great. I think they're hiring Nigel Tufnell as their spokesperson. Like, well, when you've got 4G, then it's not fast enough. Where'd you go from there? We've got 5G. Well, why don't you just have 4G and just make that a little bit faster and make that the highest speed?
So the iPhone 10S, 10S Max, and 10R only have Intel 4G chips in it.
Yeah.
What Williams said in his testimony on Monday is we were going to, because we wanted 5G, you know, every major Android vendor in the U.S. has a 5G phone. Intel's 5G modem isn't expected to hit phones until 2020. Williams said the strategy was to dual source in 2018 as well. We were working toward doing that with Qualcomm, but in the end, they would not support us or sell us chips. He said
that's what they did last year.
Yeah.
So said, if you're on Verizon, you got the Qualcomm. If you're on everywhere else, you got the Intel.
Yeah. And of course, Apple famously slowed down the Qualcomm so it would be as dumb as the Intel. he said he contacted Qualcomm CEO to get him to sell chips to Apple. When Qualcomm refused, Apple had to call Intel's CEO, ask him to supply all the modems needed for the iPhone instead of only half the volume. He had to scramble, Williams said. We would have loved to have continued access to Qualcomm tech. So it's not that Apple doesn't want Qualcomm. They do.
Nope. Yeah.
They just don't want to pay them.
Again, it's the gold standard.
They don't
want
to pay them as much as they're being asked. Yeah.
Yeah. If you have a Qualcomm modem, all your problems are solved. You do not have to worry about anything in terms of compatibility and connectivity and speed.
Well, I don't want to pay Apple $1,000 for an iPhone. So there.
Yeah.
Sell it to me for less. You know, that's what it costs.
So this is, this, yeah, I mean, you can buy a different phone.
Yeah, and also the Apple's defense is sort of like, that would be like if they're saying, yes, you can buy an iPhone, but we're marking up $120 because we're also selling you a pair of AirPods and you can't buy it without AirPods, but I don't want AirPods. Well, it's too bad, you're getting it anyway. That's the argument about how Qualcomm is abusing the markets. But they're also
selling it to you. Like, imagine this, Leo. It's like, not that you don't want to buy an iPhone. It's that you don't want to pay a percentage of your gross revenue for the price of the iPhone.
Okay,
you just
that's
want to
fair.
Pay the same base price that everybody else pays.
Right.
It's maybe the better analogy is Ticketmaster. It's like, why am I being charged an extra $30 for this $80 ticket? Because. Usually you say because.
It's
why?
A service fee.
Because. Exactly.
Service fee.